You have your Bibles. Let's turn open. If you want to find two passages tonight, our beginning theme verse this year and our theme verse for the coming year. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and then Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Just want to spend a few moments tonight considering these as I was praying about what to have devotion-wise tonight, and I was looking at our verse for this coming year, and I didn't stumble across it. It's like, well, you know, these two verses tie into each other, and it wasn't on purpose. Again, I came across Galatians 6:14 when we were down at the youth conference in Newton back in November, and this was their theme verse for the day. And the Lord just kind of struck me with it and said, there's your verse for next year. And hadn't really given it any thought to Hebrews, but let's look at Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we note using those first three verses, the first three words, where the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then let's move over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And we have, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time that we have to open up your word. Thank you for this time that we can be taught from you. We can look into your word, learn the truths that are here, and Father, enrich our spiritual lives. Father, as we feed on your word, may we grow. May we be more Christ-like. Father, as we consider these two verses in the light of our own lives, truly may they be testimonies in our own lives that we have been looking unto Jesus. And as such, then Father, to glory in him and what he has accomplished on the cross. And I pray, Father, that these would be truly realities in our lives, that they are being lived out day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at these two verses, and a note, as the focus had been this year, was looking unto Jesus and having him as our focus, as that's where we're looking. And really thinking along those lines, I trust we have every day. You know, am I looking on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he my focal point? Is he the one that I'm resting and trusting, following? And as we come to that close, we noted, and I in the business meeting, I took this verse and I said, I don't think it's doing injustice to put it kind of in a positive statement, because Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, that I shouldn't be boasting. He says, save or except in the cross of Jesus Christ, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we should be glorying. And so as you see in the bulletin this past Sunday, I had there, I should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And that's where we can boast. We can glory. Not in us, because we have nothing to glory of. But we can glory in our God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I thought on that, I thought, well, surely we should. And we should be in a position, if we've been looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and what he has accomplished for us, as the writer notes, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we stop to consider, we're looking unto Jesus, what has he done for us? What is he doing for us? And I think when we stop and consider those things, and I have just a few that I want to touch on, we'll realize, yes, there's a lot to boast about concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And may that be us as we consider that as we go into this new year. Because truly, if we have been gazing on our Lord Jesus Christ, we will naturally then desire to glory in him. As we consider, you know, who Jesus Christ is to us, what has he done, what is he doing? And I trust that as we look at just a few of these, and we'll limber your fingers up a little bit if you want to follow along. But as we consider these things, I'd like to look briefly at what Christ has done and is doing for us. And this list is not exhaustive. I don't want to scare you, but there are 7 points. But they're going to go faster than a normal Sunday morning message. So don't be too concerned. Like, oh man, that's two sermons in one. No, this is not two sermons in one. We'll quickly work through these as we look at them. But as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see it noted for us, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. The world is crucified unto us because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's consider Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Jesus Christ saved us. Is that not something to glory in? He saved us. Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. He notes, says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Our lost condition pictured for us. But then he notes, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now there's a lot there, we're not unpacking it, I'm just touching on these and moving on, but noting the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, if you know him. And that in and of itself would say, that's enough to glory and boast in. God saved me. I was, yes, once that was foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, and hating one another. But God changed all that. That's not me anymore. I am a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Along with that, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, as we consider this, he saved us through Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. As we look at those foolishness, the disobedience, the deceiving, the serving diverse lusts and pleasures, Ephesians 1, verse 7, and we break in about midway through Paul's long sentence there, but he notes, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." In that Christ saved us, he forgave us our sins. And as believers, is that not one of the hardest things, in one sense, to not overcome, but to get away from? Because God does remind us when we do sin. And sinfulness seems to be more sinful after we trusted Christ as our Savior. Because we realize the connection that we have through Jesus Christ with God. He's the one that bore our sin on the cross. And so now it does seem more painful, if you will. And we can get so sidetracked with that that we miss the fact that he forgave us of that sin. And as John notes for us, if we confess our sins, acknowledge it as he does, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we should glory in the fact that, yes, our sins are forgiven. It doesn't give us a license to go out and sin. Quite the contrary. It really shows us our sinfulness. because Christ suffered on the cross for that sin that we may have just committed, and then God brings conviction upon us to realize, yes, you, look what you just did. Yes, Lord. But we can confess it and know that it's been forgiven. God will never bring it back to our attention. God doesn't beat us over the head with any sin that we have sinned. He forgives us of it, cleanses us, washes us whiter than snow. And so that is something, yes, to again glory in. Our sins are forgiven. And I thank God for that. I may remember them. Our adversary may remember them. But God does not. Third, Jesus Christ gave us a new life in Him. As again, we consider our salvation and what He has done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 notes, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and if you are, because you are a believer, you are, then you are a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ that He is living in and through us with. A life that is not bound to the old life. A new life that is pointed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to be chained to that old life because Christ broke those chains. Number four, Romans chapter 8. Through Christ, we have been adopted into God's family. And with that, we are joint heirs with Christ. As Paul notes in this wonderful chapter, he notes in verses 15 through 17 of Romans 8, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I realize it those words lose something in the translation, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We don't use the word Abba, to my knowledge. It's a term of endearment. And so the best that we can do in our English today is there a particular word of endearment that you had for your earthly father that was in essence in your home? It was exclusive to you and your dad. That's what he's likening this to. He is our father. He's our, and I say this reverently and respectfully, he is our daddy. If that is a term that we use of endearment to refer to our, you know, biological father, he's my dad. It brings it closer. It makes it heartfelt. And that's what this word is speaking of here when he says, we have received the spirit of adoption. We've been taken out of that old family, that lost family. We've been adopted into God's family. We're now a child of His. And so we continue. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is no doubt. God confirms that in us with His own Spirit who resides within us. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So we are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ with what God has. And God has heaven waiting for us. And it's ours. That's our inheritance. Paul will tell us we have a down payment of that. The earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that gives us a foretaste, if you will, of that which is to come when we will be in God's presence forever, eternally, in that inheritance that's waiting for us, which cannot be described. Number five, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and still in Romans, just chapter 8, just dropped down to verse 34, that's kind of what Christ has done for us in one sense, in the salvation that we have. He saved us. He cleansed us. He's given us a home in heaven, which is yet to be. But is Christ doing something for us right now? Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 notes, Jesus Christ intercedes for us. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Paul notes also in this chapter that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Why? Because we have an accuser of the brethren, do we not? And Christ is our advocate, as he tells us elsewhere. In essence, Christ is our lawyer. He pleads our cause before the Heavenly Father. And what a joy to consider that. I am not left without an advocate. Christ intercedes for us. He helps us along the way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, number 6. Jesus Christ meets our every need. Paul noted to them, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have a need. We can take it to God, and God will supply it. He takes care of his children. We're his children. He's going to take care of us. It may not be the way that we think he should, but he'll take care of us. He always does. It's his promise. And so he meets our every need. And lastly, you know, Jesus Christ is with us every moment of every day. Yes, we read verses, you know, he will never leave us nor forsake us. But he's with us every day. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Again, Christ, as we note, chapter 14 and chapter 16 are Christ's encouragement to his disciples, letting them know he's going to leave them. He's going to leave them physically, but he's sending another comforter, another of the same kind. But he notes in that, he says, I will pray the Father, verses 16 through 18 of John 14. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And we have that mystery, and I say that in a good sense, that mystery of how is it that God is three in one? And yet he is. He tells us that the Spirit of truth is going to indwell us, the Holy Spirit's going to indwell us, but he also just told us, I will be in you. How does that, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. How does that work? How is it that God the Holy Spirit indwells me and Jesus Christ indwells me? I just know what the scriptures say. I mean, we see it right there. And that's all we need to know. God said it, that settles it. I believe it. And so as we stop to consider those things, and again, there's a whole lot more we could look at to think of what has God done through Jesus Christ for us? What is he doing for us? We know that he's preparing us a place in heaven. But just some things to stop and to contemplate as we, again, look at our two verses, the one coming to an end, the one starting, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. We have so much to glory in. May this be a year that we stop and think on those things and consider that. I realize we have lives that are complicated at times, lives that revolve around so many different things, so many things that we have involved in our lives, but may we never forget the most important thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we will have all eternity with Him. Yes, this world, this life bears down on us because it's the present. It's the here and now. And I'm not talking of escapism, but realize that this will pass. We've got God, and He's with me now. And I have much to glory in that. Yes, even in the midst of what's going on in this world, we of all people should be the most blessed, the most joyful, because of what Christ has done for us, what Christ is doing for us, and what Christ has prepared for us. That makes everything in this life, in one sense, pale to insignificance. Doesn't mean that we forget it, but God does bring us through these things because He's promised to. And so may He be our focus, looking unto Him, so that we can boast and glory in what He has accomplished in doing for us in this life that He's given to us on this planet for this time. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Thy Word. We thank You for our verses that we have reflected on this year, and as we reflect on this next one for this coming year, Father, truly we should boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through that cross that we have salvation. He bore our sins in His own body on that tree. And Father, while we look at that, and it is such a grim picture, Father, it is something that I'm sure in real life we would have a hard time actually looking at, to see our bruised Savior hanging on that tree, suffering in our place. And yet He did, and as the writer of Hebrews notes, it was for the joy that was set before Him. He knew He was bearing our sins in His own body so that He could save us. It is through His finished work that we have redemption. He knew He would die on that cross, but He also knew, as He told Pilate, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to pick it up again. And Father, in that great moment of time, yes, He died, but 3 days later, He arose victorious for us. And so the cross is empty because He's risen. And Father, we thank You for all that that means. And may You help us to fathom those depths, to see how we truly can glory in the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and realize that by that cross, we are crucified to the world. It does not have power over us. The world is crucified unto us, and we unto the world. Father, those chains, those ties have been severed. And we thank You for that. And we praise You. And truly, Father, that is a means, a reason for glorying in that cross. So, Father, I pray that You would send us forth with those thoughts, not just for tonight, but, Father, may they linger long. And may they come to mind as we read through Your book this coming year. May we see other things about what Christ has accomplished in the salvation that we have, that we can glory in. And truly, may we glory in those. We thank You for those that You have brought out. Pray that You would bless the time of fellowship that we can enjoy together now in just a few moments. We ask that you may bless this food that we have prepared. May it nourish our bodies and ourselves for thy service as you tarry and spare us. And just thank you for the time that we can have together tonight as we close out this year of 2025. And truly, Father, look with great anticipation of what you will do in us and through us in this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.